Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening and greetings in Jesus' name. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, we come now and give you thanks for this day. The day in which, Father, you have brought us through. We thank you for the things that has been with us this day. We ask, Father, that you keep us and hold us now in your hand through the remainder. And Father, as we go into your word this evening, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to open our hearts and minds to be receptive to the truth of this your word, so that we can gain in knowledge and wisdom and be better equipped to help others that are in need, Father, both spiritually and physically. Now, Father, be with us throughout this study. And if we have done anything this day, Father, that was not pleasing in your sight, forgive us, Father, so that we can have clean hearts and minds as we go now, Father, partake of communion in our remembrance of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be with us now, Father. This is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Now, everybody is ready and all for communion. Get your bread. Because we know that the Lord, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Eat your bread. And after the same manner, also he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Drink your cup. Often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. We thank the Lord and all for everything. And we give that thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Now, we're going to be getting in to Acts chapter 13. And we had read the first 5 verses this morning. And I'm going back and read them again. Because as they lead into other things. Verse 1. Now there were in the church that was Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manani, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. 3. And when they had fasted and prayed, laid their hands on them, they sent them away. 4. So they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost departed into Cilicia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. Now, we'll be picking up here in 6, and see how far we can get, because we know, as I told you this morning, that 13 to 2 verses in it. But we'll see how far the Lord will take us this evening and share with us. All right, 6. And when they had gone through the aisle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus. 7. Which the deputy of the country, Tegias Pelorus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name, by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him. Now we know that this Sir Gaius Paulus, the Roman ruler over the Isle of Cyprus, he becomes one of Paul's first prominent converts. And though translated deputy, Luke's word calls him a proconsul, normally were former Roman senators who had been commissioned by the Senate to govern the affairs of the peaceful provinces throughout the Roman Empire. And over more turbulent provinces, the emperor himself would send legates like Serenus in Syria are a peculator in lesser providence. Now, you see, they had a lot of different ways back then of working, but they always had some of these leaders, as they use them, always in the forefront to see to the things that they wanted. The 10. And said, O full of all stability and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? Well, you know, when you go to teaching and preaching that way, that takes a boldness, which is what we are lacking today. And we have so many that are standing and preaching things that are not only contrary to the Word of God, but a lot of times really has nothing to do with the Word at all. And they want to make up stories and get out there and tell stories instead of teaching the Word, so that man can learn what God is saying and talking to them, so that they can grow. And we, right now, are standing very, very close to losing our land. And once we lose this land, we will not be able to go out here and teach the Word of God in any form openly. It would have to be done hidden in secret. And it's really all because the church sat back and let it all happen. Because the church had got weak, they quit teaching the gospel as they had been teaching. Because at one time, our church has taught the truth of the gospel. And you'll hear people today, especially among your older people, you'll hear them in the churches. They'll be talking and they'll say, you know, we used to go to church and our preachers would preach about hell and brimstone. But we don't hear that no more. Oh, you don't. And it really is all because of money. They won't stand up and give the truth of God's word anymore as Paul and them were doing here, because they are afraid of losing people and losing their money. And that's what they were really, today, what they were really after. Because let me tell you something. When you go to having to have as much, it's what most of your pastors are requiring today in order to pastor church. It's not for the glory of God. It's for that money, the love they have of that money. You see, having money, there's nothing wrong with that. It's what you do with it. And it's that love of it that causes the trouble. Now, 11. And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. And it's that doctrine that is not being preached and taught today. They've built walls that has caused division among mankind. And we are told in God's word not to build them walls, because there is only one church. You can believe and think whatever you want, but when you get into God's word, you can see. They went from city to city and church to church in the early days of the church, and all that were not teaching the same thing found out about it, because they was to come together, because there is only one, and that is the Lord, his church. Now, whatever name you want to put on yours, that's all right, as long as you have not changed the doctrine, the belief, and the teaching of it from that of the Lord's church. Now, 13. Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perigae in Pamphylia, and John departed from them and returned to Jerusalem. 14. But when they departed from Perigae, they came to Antioch in Pisidia, and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. Now, 15. And after reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, ye men and brethren, if ye have any word of exaltation for the people, say on. Now they in there sitting down, they have now been invited to speak. 16. Then Paul stood up and beckoned with his hand, said, men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt. You know, Paul's first recorded message, he emphasizes that Jesus is the Christ. And similarities can be seen between this sermon and Stephen's, which may have been the first Christian sermon Paul ever heard. And both Stephen and Paul narrate Israel's history and prophecies and warn their Jewish audiences not to reject God's message as their fathers had done. But there are also distinct differences within the two messages. Whereas Stephen focused on Joseph and Moses as prototypes of Christ's rejection, Paul focused on David as the prophet of Christ's birth and resurrection. Now, you know, we know that Paul's preaching there goes back a ways into the Old Testament days, and he's using some of that to bring things of today out. And with a high arm brought he them out of it. Now 18, and about the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness. 19, and when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. And after that, he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet. You see, he's going back in, all the way back in to Samuel's day and all, to bring about what has happened to the Jewish people that has got them where they are. Now, you know, if we was to really stop and start teaching on what has happened to our land here, just in my lifetime, for me to really give you the happenings, the dates, the times and things, would take four or five services to get us up to this point. Now, 21, and after they desired a king, then God gave unto them Saul the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. 22, and when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony, and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. God has gave us promises. He's gave us warnings. And he's told us how to live in order to make heaven our home. But he's also gave us promises and warnings and things on how to live his way and his will while we are here on this earth. We have been taught so many years in a lot of our weak churches to stay out of politics. We're not supposed to be in politics. To stay out of it. I know I heard it growing up in the churches. Supposed to get out here and mess with politics. You won't find that in the Bible. But you'll find the Bible even tells you that when the righteous rule, we'll have peace and joy. But when the evil and the wicked rule, woe be unto mankind. And look what we have today. We've got God's people one more time now being attacked every day, under attacks. And those that went in didn't go in against Israel's army. They went in against civilians, and most of it was women and children, babies, having their heads cut off, raping babies and young girls and the women, killing all of the men. And they took then a whole bunch, kidnapped them, and carried them away. Because you see, they want to get rid of every Jew. And then they said when they did, then they're coming after the Christian, the child of God. And God had gave us a nation that was strong. He was blessing this land. And we sit back and did nothing while these that have evil in them tore down our land. They took our government for the Constitution. They're not following our Constitution. No. That's why we need to be praying. For the evil that is in our leadership offices to be removed and replaced with those that are righteous and that love the Lord God. Now, '21, and after they desired a king, and God gave unto them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. 22. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king. You see, this is the way David got in to take over as king. I was rereading that so you could really catch it and remember. Because you see, David, the son of Jesse, he was a man after God's own heart. Now, 23. Of this man's seed has God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. We know that Jesus came from the lineage or the bloodline of David. That's where his mother was from. Now, 24. When John had first preached before his coming, the baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. 25. And as John fulfilled his course, he said, whom think ye that I am? I am not he, but behold, there cometh one after me, whose shoes of his feet I am not worthy to loose. Now we all have studied about that back in the four Gospels. Do you remember that? Now, you see, as we come now to that, just a few minutes ago, we were reading the scripture about the 450 years. And in the Greek text proceeds the reference to the judges. And this phrase, therefore, chronologically covers the period mentioned from verse 17 through verse 19. That is, the Jews sojourned in Egypt for 400 years, wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, and spent about a decade conquering Canaan. So verse 20 could be translated, after these things, namely the events spanning the 450 years, God gave them judges unto Samuel the prophet, letting us know exactly what had taken place down through those years. Now, 26. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abram, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. Listen to that verse. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abram, and whosoever among you heareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. And that is, means you and I even this day. Because you see, when we become that child of God, faith-wise, Abraham is our father. And we are part of his seed. Now, 27, that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voice of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath day. They have fulfilled them in condemning him. 28. And though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. Well, we've just finished going through the four Gospels. We've read all about it, haven't we? And how much of it have you really remembered? You know, I know that most don't like to sit down and study the Word of God like this and have so much read and all. But it's what we need, because you see, it's not man today that is teaching us. It is the Holy Spirit of Almighty God teaching us through the apostles that were sent by God and were guided to give to you and I the word. Yeah, but you know, we just spend so much time going through that. Well, I don't know. I just can't get interested in it. I've got my own way of thinking. Your own way of thinking can get you in a lot of trouble. You better be seeking the ways of Almighty God and seeking His will and His way and praying to Him and asking Him, Lord, show me what you have for me now and for me to do. 29. And when they had fulfilled all, that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher. But God raised him from the dead. And he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. And we declare unto you glad tidings, how that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he has raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalms, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. 34. And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption, he said on this wise, I will give you the sure mercies of David. And God's promise to you and I, if we will live by this word, keep this word, he will see that we have everything that we need, both spiritually and physically. But you know, most of us, we don't live that kind of life. We got too many things in this world we want. That's why, you know, you'll hear a lot of people tell you, oh, they'll go to church down there. All they want is your money. No, you don't want to give to God. That's the problem. We've got a lot of them out here claiming to be the children of God that don't even pay their tithes. Let me tell you something. That will get you in trouble. Financially, and a lot of other ways. Because that is one way of you receiving the blessings of Almighty God. He don't need your money, but he needs you to be obedient and do as he asks, so that they are those can do what he asks of them. Because God knows that it does take money in order to get a lot of things done on this earth because of the selfishness and the greed of mankind. But we're told in Malachi, third chapter, that when we don't give and pay our tithes, we're a robber and a thief in God's eyes. But yet they don't want to do it. And look where it's gotten us. Now, 35. Wherefore he said also in another psalm, Thou shalt not suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid unto the fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, though this man, through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. There's a lot of things the law of Moses couldn't do. And that's why God set up this church age and sent the Lord Jesus Christ here to fulfill the law and to establish what needed to be established and done. Beware, therefore, lest there come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers and wonders, and perish, for I work a work in your day, a work which you shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you, even though it's declared unto you. All right. I'm going to stop here. I know we don't have too many more verses to go, but we still got quite a few. We still got about 10 verses to go. But there's quite a bit in them. And all time is running a little over. Now, let's stop here. God willing, we can pick up here and continue on in the morning, because the last of the chapter leads us into 14 anyway. 14 has only got 28 verses, so we'll be able to finish out 13 and probably finish 14 also. All right. I pray that you have learned something and gotten something out of the study this evening. I know I have. Now, let us go to the Father. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as I close your word, Father, I give you thanks for this word, and I thank the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit for the things they've done for us, Father, and I thank you for them. Now, Father, I pray for Israel, pray for peace for them, but more than that, I pray that they will all accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and as their Messiah. In this land, Father, in which we live, filled with so much evil, Father, I pray that those that have brought this evil upon this land that is sitting in our offices and leadership, that they be removed from office, Father, and replaced by those that serve you, that love you, love the Lord Jesus, loves your church, loves your people, and loves this country, and that will work with us to bring this land to repentance and put our government back upon the foundation which it was founded, that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, pray for those that are close with me and to me. Brother Kenny Powers, Brother Dennis Lee, Brother James Taylor, Amy, Tom, Jacob, Millie and Bobby, my wife, Sue Branson, Courtney and Shane, Debbie and Daryl, and for Kenny's mother, to their help, that they'll reach out and accept that healing power that the Lord Jesus Christ gave to us at the cross. As we are told in His Word, that by His stripes we are healed. God cannot lie. He keeps His promises to those that love Him. Father, help us all this night to be true and faithful unto You. And Father, for all of our families, our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, and every member of the family. Now, Father, as we come to a close this night, keep us all in thought. Keep us safe through the night. May we get some rest. And Father, bring us back together again come morning at 10 a.m. and back into Your Word. This, Father, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, all. Have a great day and a good night. Walk with God, He'll walk with you. Good evening.